From the Professional Disc Golf Association, this is PDGA Radio News.
And welcome. It's the Disc Golf News for the week of October 25th, 2004. I'm Brian Sullivan, coming your way this time, results from the Texas State Championships in Houston, and we'll preview this weekend's upcoming Oklahoma Open in Tulsa. Plus, professional disc golfer Todd Branch has some suggestions to improve your putting practice in the 60-second clinic, and we'll talk course design with the world's preeminent disc golf course designer. His name is John Houck.
The one thing I would urge people to keep an eye on is spending more time in the initial phase, seeing what's available to you and everything that's out there.
It's all coming up on PDGA Radio News, brought to you by Discovering the World at dtworld.com. Also by Discraft at discraft.com. And our newest sponsor is No Obstacles Disc Golf at 150class.com.
No Obstacles Disc Golf announces the addition of 150class.com. At the 2004 PDGA Worlds, we heard you ask for lighter weight discs. At 150class.com, you'll find Discraft's new 150 Z Flick, Talon, and Storm, plus a great selection of Innova, DGA, and Millennium. If you're looking for heavier weights, go to plu-ent.com to search our custom collection. No Obstacles Disc Golf and 150class.com, where pigs fly.
The big arms were in Houston, Texas last weekend for the Texas State Championships. Results coming your way, beginning with the Masters Division, and Joel Kelly is always tough, but he's constantly looking over his shoulder for Brad Hammack, the nemesis. However, the nemesis not in the house this weekend, and Kelly is going to cruise the victory by 11 strokes over James McCain and Vinnie Miller. To the women's division, a light turnout here in the PDGA's Andy Lehman. PDGA number 2094 is going to win this one by 15 over Ron Russell's traveling companion, Susie Johnson. To the open division, Louisiana's Eric Tracy. He did well last weekend at the USDGC. Would he do well here? Well, he went into the final round with a six-stroke lead, but fumbled, but keeps it. He's going to win it by one over Texas homeboy Nolan Grider. Ron Russell takes third, Matt Orem in fourth. And that is how it went down at the Texas State Championships.
Time to check in with the 60-Second Clinic. Now, I don't care how long you've been playing. A month, a year, 3 years, 5 years, 10 years, whatever. Most of us are constantly in search of the perfect putter for our style. And as a result, we're constantly trying new putters, different makes, different models, different weights. In the clinic this week, professional disc golfer Todd Branch is going to attempt to improve your putting practice by steering you to make a choice. Pick a putter.
For just practicing by yourself, you get a stack of as many as you can have. I'll try and have them all the same make, absolutely. Same weight, as close as you can get. That'd be the second most important. And third most important, even as much as the same color. Because having a good putting style is all about doing the same thing every time, and it helps your mindset if you have the same disc every time when you're doing your practicing. Well, if you're practicing using three different types of discs, or any number of different types of discs, you're going to get a little bit of a different flight and a different feel to each shot, and it's not going to provide the consistency you're looking for quality practice. The reason I mentioned if you're by yourself and as many as you can, is because if you're standing around a basket with your chums practicing before a round or before a tournament, it's pretty much common courtesy not to have more than two putters in your hand when you're practicing. That way everybody gets to throw their two putts and things move along quick, instead of some guys standing around waiting for one of the jokers with five putters to finish his practices before they can go pick theirs up.
Professional disc golfer Todd Branch is a frequent contributor to PDGA Radio News. Coming up, we'll talk course design with John Houck. Stick around.
Since 1979, Discraft has designed and manufactured tournament-quality flying discs for all disc sports. Our disc golf line is second to none. From beginners to world champion pros, disc golfers everywhere rely on the quality, consistency, and durability of every Discraft Pro Golf disc. Discraft, the world leader in disc sports.
The average disc golfer's new secret weapon is the Flash Maximum Distance Driver. Available now from Discraft and your local disc golf retailer.
Hi, this is Tim McGill, and you're listening to PDGA Radio News.
In the big picture this week, we wanted to sit down and spend some time with the guy who is considered to be the world's preeminent disc golf course designer. His name is John Houck. Now, before we meet John Houck, let me run down just a few of the many highlights on his disc golf resume. They include being commissioner of the PDGA from 94 to 96. John Houck is the two-time world freestyle champion. He was the tournament director of the PDGA World Championships twice. He's the current president of the Disc Golf Foundation. He has designed more than 65 courses. That's more than any current living course designer. He's the guy behind the world's biggest disc golf weekend, which happens every year. He is the proprietor of the Circle R Ranch and Circle R Ranch 2 in Texas. He is a member of the Disc Golf Hall of Fame, and he is the head of design of the National Disc Golf Center. So, now that you know a little bit about the guy, let's meet John Houck.
John Houck, welcome to PDGA Radio.
Thanks, Brian. My pleasure.
Let's talk a bit about your history in disc golf and design. How'd you get started?
Well, in 1984, I took over running the Texas State Overall Championships and wanted to find a new place to run them. We'd been having them at Bartholomew Park, which was the main course in Austin at the time, and wanted to move the whole thing over to Zilker Park, which was the big park in town and had more room for field events, but had no disc golf course at the time. So I got with the Parks Department, designed a temporary course there that we used for the first few years, and that was the first one I ever did.
All right, let's talk process. Somebody calls you, says, hey, we've got a plot of land, we're ready to put a course in, we need a designer. Would you help? How does the course get designed? What is your process?
Well, first thing is to ascertain that they actually need a professional type designer. And, you know, it used to be most of the courses that I did were fairly close, you know, within an hour or two, and I could just drive over and take a look. But if it's further away, you know, make sure that they have enough property, make sure that they actually have some trees and that kind of thing. And once we've established that, I mean, I refuse to do anything that's just on paper for anybody. You know, to really do a course properly, you need to be there and look at the property and see the trees and, you know, the space between the branches and that kind of thing. So job one, once I get there, is to spend at least a day looking at the entire property. Actually, before that, a lot of people miss this sometime, is know exactly what's available to you. What are the boundaries of the properties? What areas will they let you use? What areas do you have to stay away from? If it's a course with woods, it might take 2 days. I did a course in Hot Springs, Arkansas recently, where it took me at least 2 full days just to walk all the property, see what's there. You know, when you get in the woods, there could be a really nice area 70 feet away from where you're standing, and you can't see it. You've got to walk the whole thing and look at it from all the different angles. And once you know what's there and start getting the feel in your head for what you have to work with, then you can actually start the design process.
So you've scouted out the entire property, and you've got kind of an idea now of where you might like to start. And what's next?
Well, what I do as I'm walking around, I'll leave myself little markings, you know, so I can try to remember a particular area and know how to get back to it. And when you're walking around, you're always going to see areas where, oh, you know, there's a nice looking fairway here. This might make a nice tee area. This might make a good green area. One of the things I've noticed over the last few years is I actually start looking more for places that would make good landing areas on two-shot holes. And, you know, you're going to see nice holes as you're walking around, nice parts of holes, so you kind of start collecting those. And so when you actually start getting into the design, you already have some areas that you're drawn to, maybe some hole ideas that you want to try to work in there if you can, and you start building around those.
So instead of a linear design going from 1 to 18 or 24 or whatever the case may be, you find your signature holes first and then build around those.
Yeah, that's what I try to do. Now, you know, after that point, if it's, if it doesn't get too narrow in any points, then you can be kind of lost after that. So what I do is always look for the things that I know I need. Because, I mean, if you're out there, especially if you're out in the woods, I mean, there's thousands of holes that you could potentially have out there. So what I try to do is narrow it down to anything I know I have to do that's going to give me direction. For example, here's a great signature hole that I really want to find a way to work in. So now I know that I have to have a basket not too far from this signature tee, because I got to be able to get to it easily, and I know that I'm going to have another tee right after this signature basket. Sometimes there are areas where it is narrow, and you say, okay, well, I know I have to have a hole or I have to have two holes in this area, so let me work on that and see what I can do with that. And, of course, most of the time you'll know I want to start number one over here because that's where the parking is, that's where the access is. I need to have 18 near one. And that kind of stuff gives you direction so that you're not just out there wandering around going, oh, that'd be nice. I mean, you could do that for weeks in most places.
What is your philosophy on removing vegetation, especially trees?
Well, I think it's one of the most appealing things about disc golf, not just for players, but for parks departments or the landowners, that we have a minimal impact on the land, you know, especially compared to traditional golf. I mean, as far as tree removal and use of pesticides and that kind of thing, as the world tends to get a little more environmentally aware, I think traditional golf, loses some of its stock. And that's something that we have going for us. Obviously, there are times, when you have to take trees out, you have to take vegetation out just to make a decent course. So, some cases you're walking kind of a fine line there. You may get into a bonus situation where the owner of the property says, yeah, well, these are trees that I can sell for lumber. So you take out as many as you want because I'm going to get paid for them. But the National Disc Golf Center in Augusta is a good example. We're under a mandate there to take the fewest number of trees possible. But if we say, it's important to take these out to make a great hole, then we think the Corps of Engineers is going to be willing to do that for us. But I think, when you have that leeway, a tree gets to stay or go, it gives you more control, it gives you more ability to shape the hole and kind of sculpt it the way you want it. But I think in general, we want to try to keep that to a minimum, and I think the landowners and environmentalists of the world appreciate us for doing that.
What would you say is the most common pitfall that people fall into when they're designing their own course?
Well, there's a few. I think doing a kind of a connect the dots design, as I spoke about before, is one of them. Not putting a high standard on being unique is another one of them. Of course, a lot of people will fall into the trap of just not having a good balance between left and right. We've seen a couple courses where, a third of the holes are 300-foot righty hyzers, which, helps you get a bunch of birdies maybe, but doesn't really challenge you. And lefties don't necessarily appreciate it too much. Not doing the work to see everything that's out there is another common one. And, well, actually, I wrote an article on this very subject, and I'm forgetting a few of them. One of them was, you know, every time you have a valley, people like to throw from the top of it on one side to the top of it on the other side, and, you know, basically just throw over a valley. There's a lot of more interesting things that you can do with valleys. But I think overall, probably the one thing I would urge people to keep an eye on is just, you know, spending more time in the initial phase, seeing what's available to you and everything that's out there. And then in the design phase, always go back and say, you know, could I have done this area better? Could I have done this hole better? Because, you know, put the time in that part of the process, you can really improve your course a lot.
If I'm working with my local parks department and it is determined that, yes, we have some budget, yes, we want to bring in a professional course designer, what kind of design fees can we expect to be paying?
Well, depends on who it is. I can speak for myself and a couple other people I know who have done several and who could legitimately be considered professionals, I guess. I'd say, you know, and the way people bill will vary, but something in the neighborhood of $50 an hour, or in my case, you know, depending on what the property is like, somewhere between $125 a hole and $200 a hole, you know, plus travel and lodging and that kind of thing. So most of the courses I've been doing lately, if I've got to travel there and stay there for a week or so, you know, we're talking $2,500 to $3,000. Which, by the way, I'm sorry, compared to other consulting and engineering services that parks departments are used to paying for, is still pretty darn cheap by comparison.
And if I have come to the conclusion that I'm going to design my own course, can you point us to any good resources that would help that person?
Well, as many of your listeners probably know, I've written a series of articles for Disc Golf World News on course design. I actually have another one coming out in this new issue. And a good number of them are up on my website, which is circularproductions.com. It's a little bit of a spelling test. There's some good stuff on Innova's website. They've put together a nice brochure, not necessarily how to design. There's not really a lot of that kind of thing out there. The PDGA website has some good helpful hints on there. So not a lot at this point, but hopefully my articles will be helpful to people.
Well, John Houck, thanks for your time this week.
Well, it's my pleasure, as always, Brian, and I hope that information is helpful to anybody who's working on a design out there.
Disc golf course designer John Houck spoke to us from his office at the Circle R2 Ranch in San Saba, Texas. And you're listening to PDGA Radio News.
Disc golfing should be inexpensive and fun. Discovering the World wants nothing more than to help you have fun. They offer a wide variety of disc golf and PDGA products. If they don't have it, you don't need it. Orders ship within 24 hours, and there's a retail location open 7 days a week to deal with you personally. Call 714-522-2202 or visit dtworld.com to see the full selection available now from Discovering the World.
This weekend's big Pro-Am Super Tour event is in Tulsa. It's the Oklahoma Open. The tournament director is Michael Barr.
Oklahoma Open started in the mid-80s as a tournament called the McClure Classic. It built from there to a sanctioned event. Changed the name from the McClure Classic to the McClure Open. Started getting a little bit bigger in status as a B-tier. Last year we ran a B-tier. We were one of the highest paid B-tiers in the country. And we decided to go ahead and go with a A-tier event called the Oklahoma Open to make it more regionally named. Defending champions will be George Smith from last year for the male open, and Desiretting for female. We have three courses that are that each have their own uniqueness to them. McClure, which is our featured course, very beautiful scenery with some rolling hills, a few trees, some different variations in length will test your overall abilities as a golfer. And then move on to Hunter Park, which is a little bit more challenging course. First several holes are played through some woods, pretty tight holes with a lot of water OB. Then the third course, which is Copperhead Canyon, is our newest course in Tulsa. It's at the Westside YMCA private course. It's also one of Tulsa's most challenging courses, played through some a lot of cliffs, a lot of hills, and a lot of trees. We're focusing a lot on the women golfers this year. A lot of the added money is going to go to the pro women. Last year's women field was only three women, and we wanted to try to promote and get more women playing. Last year was a B tier. We had nine open women, including Juliana and a few others. We're trying to invite them back and let them know that we're going to take care of them real well this year.
Michael Barr is tournament director for this weekend's Oklahoma Open in Tulsa. So, looking for some disc golf action this Halloween weekend, October 30th and 31st? I think we can set you up. The Las Vegas Halloween Classic going on for AMs only this weekend. And in California, it's the Chuck Freeland Memorial. Bowling Green hosting Nat's Halloween Tournament. And the DiscGolfStore.com Gulf Coast Championship Series continues this weekend in Live Oak, Texas. Auburn, Maine hosting the Challenge of the Dragon. And in Hogansville, Georgia, it's the Fright Flight Doubles. Plus, the Akron Open. No, that's the awesome Akron Open. Akron, PA. In Iowa, it's the J&B Graceland Boo Bash Doubles. And in Burlington, Ontario, check out the Bronte Creek Classic. If you're looking for this week's entire list of tournaments, or next week's, or next month's, you can find it all. Just point your browser to pdga.com. And finally this week, a bunch more stuff to talk about. We will begin with the Department of Corrections. During our coverage of the USDGC results last week, we told you that second place finisher Daryl Nodland was from South Dakota. He's from North Dakota, where we are told it is significantly colder. And for some inexplicable reason, we skipped right over Oklahoma's Ron Converse, who finished tied for 10th with Johnny McRae and Brad Hammack. We definitely regret that oversight. From PDGA headquarters, if you are moving or are planning to move, please contact the office and update your member information. Most importantly, of course, is your address. Drop an email to office@pdga.com or give a call and let the folks there know what is happening with you. The 2005 Tournament Director Package, the preliminary package, will be posted at the PDGA website later this week. You can take a look at that, and it will be finalized later on this year. If you are a tournament director for a B, C, or D tier event, please keep in mind you need to coordinate your event through your state coordinator before it gets kicked up to the PDGA, so please keep that in mind. Some goings on at PDGA headquarters this week. The new staffers are there through Wednesday. They're going through orientation. They are Matthew Gillis. He's going to be taking care of some operational details at the new National Disc Golf Center in Augusta. Also, David Gentry. He's going to be the new tour events manager. He's going to be the guy behind the tour. And the office would like to remind you that if you have any questions, comments, whatever, dealing with the 2005 tour, please contact David Gentry directly. Do not go to the office. And I will give you his contact information right now. His email address is tourmanager@pdga.com. And the phone line to David Gentry is 701-828-3724. Call David Gentry, the PDGA's tour manager, with any information that you have or need regarding the Oak 5 National Tour. And, of course, it is election season, and we encourage you to get out and vote in your local, state, and national elections next week. Exercise your democratic right as an American, if you are an American. And, of course, the PDGA elections are coming up as well, and in the coming weeks we'll be introducing you to your candidates. Stay tuned for that in the coming weeks. But for now, that is the Disc Golf News for the week of October 25th for the PDGA. I'm Brian Sullivan. Our sponsors are Discovering the World, DTWorld.com, Discraft, Discraft.com, and No Obstacles Disc Golf at 150class.com. Summer is gone, but the autumn remains beautiful in many parts of the country, so I encourage you to get out there, huck some plastic, stay out of the shul, and keep them in the fairways.